Well, today is week three in our four-part sermon series, Prayer is Air. For Christians, praying is like breathing. It's life-giving. It's empowering. Last week, we talked about all the different kinds of ways that we could pray. We talked about praying prayers from the Bible. We talked about praying in color. We talked about soap prayers and axe prayers. You'll have to go back and look at the sermon online if you missed it. We even talked about very short breath prayers. But today we're going to talk about perhaps the shortest prayer of all. And it's very simple. You just say, Uncle. You just say, I surrender. I'm going to stop fighting. You just say, Uncle. When I was a kid, my best friend and I got into a fight. And I don't know what caused it. It was probably nothing. But one minute we were just goofing around, and the next minute we were pummeling one another, and we were rolling around on the ground. And my friend was bigger, stronger, and angrier than I was. And so I'm not ashamed to admit that I cheated. And I jumped on his back, and I grabbed him by the hair, and I pinned him to the ground. So he couldn't get at me, couldn't swing at me. And there we sat, and I said, say uncle, which if you aren't familiar with that phrase, it means I'm going to stop fighting. I surrender. So I held him down on the ground, say uncle. And he said, never. Say uncle. And he said, never. And I think we would still probably be there if one of our moms hadn't called us home. Because, you know, in those days, no matter what you were doing, you were going to get home when mom called. And so we both jumped up, and that was the end of it. He never did say uncle, but Jesus did. Remember, on the night when Jesus was arrested and taken off to be crucified, he'd had the Last Supper, and then he had taken his disciples out to a garden called Gethsemane, where he prayed. And this is what he prayed. Jesus and his disciples came to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to them, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to feel despair and was anxious. He said to them, I'm very sad. It's as if I'm dying. Stay here and keep alert. Then he went a short distance farther and fell to the ground. He prayed that if possible, he might be spared the time of suffering. He said, Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Take this cup of suffering away from me. However, not what I want, but what you want. Not my will, but yours be done. Father, Uncle, I surrender to your will. And Jesus said to Uncle, not to go to defeat, but to go to victory by following God's will. He went to the cross for us, and by the cross he won victory over sin and death for all of us. And he was raised to life. But it started by saying, Father, not my will, but yours be done. In other words, Jesus said, Uncle, you will never be stronger than when you are following God's will. You will never be more at peace. You'll never be more secure than when you're in God's hands. And so say, Uncle. Say, I surrender. Or as Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Because that's really just another way of putting it. And you know, we've said that prayer so often that we can go on just by autopilot. And we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and on and on. And when things are going well, it's pretty easy to pray. Or when we think that applies to other people, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Like out there, God, not here. On earth somewhere. But when our lives get hard, and when we're really struggling, how easy is it to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. To say uncle. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel, we find three people who said uncle to God, who surrendered their life to God's will, no matter what it would cost them. And they were in some pretty difficult times too. Their names were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And if you're a VeggieTale fan, it's Rack, Shack, and Benny. King Nebuchadnezzar had set up a golden statue, and he had commanded everyone to, when they heard this music, to bow down to that gold statue. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew that that wasn't the will of God, that they said, you shall have no other gods before me. Worship the Lord your God. Him only shall you serve. They knew God's will. And so when the music sounded, they refused to bow. And they got hauled before the king. And King Nebuchadnezzar, well, he gave them an ultimatum. Nebuchadnezzar said to them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is it true that you don't serve my gods or worship the gold statue I set up? If you're now ready to do so, bow down and worship the statue I've made when you hear the sound of the music. But if you won't worship it, you'll be thrown straight into a furnace of flaming fire. And then what God will rescue you from my power? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered King Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need an answer for your question. If our God, the one we serve, is able to rescue us from the furnace of flaming fire and from your power, then let him rescue us. But if he doesn't, know this for certain, your majesty, we will still never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had said uncle to God's will. They surrendered themselves into God's hands. And so they had the courage to tell the king to shove it. And then he did. He shoved them into that fiery furnace. He had them tied up, and the three of them were tossed in. But to the king's amazement, he saw four people in that fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and someone else that he said looked like a god. And they weren't tied up. They were walking around. And in amazement, he commanded that they be brought out. And the chief administrators and governors and the king's associates crowded around to look at them. The fire hadn't done anything to them. Their hair wasn't singed. Their garments looked the same as before. They didn't even smell like fire. Nebuchadnezzar declared, may the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be praised. He sent his messenger to rescue his servants who trusted in him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego surrendered to God's will and trusted in the Lord, and they faced a terrible fiery furnace. And that has a happy ending. But you know, it doesn't always turn out so well when we follow God's will. Jesus went to the cross. And sometimes in our lives, when we surrender, we experience hard times. Life gets difficult. Just a year ago this week, a pastor's wife wrote her testimony on the annual conference website. And her name is Samantha, and she talked about how when she was 8 years old, her family was struggling. Her parents were going to get a divorce, and she was at church, and her father was talking to the pastor afterwards about their troubles. And she felt, a family is supposed to last forever. If my family is falling apart, can you trust in anything? And then she says she heard God speak to her, Sam, I'm here, and I'm real. She writes, my heart recognized the voice of its creator. I didn't use any words. I didn't ask the pastor to pray for me. But that day, my heart flipped as I laid it down in surrender. She surrendered her life to God. And you would think maybe that means that the rest of her life was going to be a cakewalk, but it doesn't. No, she says how she continued to surrender her life to God and follow God's will and God's call upon her. And she felt God calling her to be a writer, but that was really hard for her because she had cerebral palsy. And she could only really use one hand to type. And it's pretty hard to work your computer that way. Her children tease her and call it spider typing because she's got to kind of go like this to work the one hand to make it work. But God has enabled her to write books. And she was in the middle of writing a novel and things were going well, and she had a miscarriage. And through that, she felt God calling her to share her experience and to put it in a book for others struggling with a miscarriage. And so she did that, and she's written 6 books. And last winter, she was approved as a local pastor. And they were also told that her pastor husband and her were going to be appointed to a new church, and they were going to move. So they were getting all ready to move, and his cancer returned with a vengeance. And in just a few months, he was gone. She'd surrendered her life to Christ, and she continued to surrender, and still it didn't mean that the life was easy. And you may go through those times yourself when you're saying, God, I don't understand it. It's not fair. I'm not happy about it. But still there's that prayer. Uncle, thy will be done. I surrender. I don't understand it. I don't like it. But God, my life is in your hands. I read a blog by Jennifer Clark on prayers of surrender. And she says, I never really understood what surrender was, spiritually speaking, until just a couple years ago, during a season of trial in my life. My husband received the dreaded cancer diagnosis, and then he lost his job. And as I look back, it's fascinating to me that God taught me so much about surrender during a time when I hadn't actually surrendered anything. We sure didn't give up my husband's health voluntarily, and we didn't choose to give up my husband's job. They were taken from us. But the really amazing thing is that when we accepted this truth, bowing our knees to him as our master and choosing to live like he's in charge, he poured out even greater blessings. I'm learning that surrender isn't a once and for all kind of proposition. It's not a one-time deal. At least it hasn't been for me. I have to keep on surrendering, keep on bowing the knee, and keep on choosing to live like he's in charge, because he really is. He really is. And we can fight it, we can curse it, we can deny it, or we can trust it and put our lives in God's hands. It's as simple as saying, Uncle, praying, thy will be done. But there are some steps that we can take to help us more fully live that out. Because it's easy to say, Uncle, it's harder to really put our lives in God's hands. So if you've ever been through recovery or known somebody who has gone through AA, you know that really the start of that is 12 steps. And the first of those steps are all about surrender. It's all about stop trying to control everything ourselves. Step 1, we admitted that we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step 2, come to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And step 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. It's really about saying uncle to God. And many people have received victory over substance abuse by using those 12 steps. But not all of us are in that situation. And yet we can all perhaps use some steps to help us surrender and put our lives in God's hands. So in your bulletin is a little blue page. It says 7 steps to surrender. I got this from somebody who got it from somebody who got it from somebody. I have no idea who originally wrote these or where they came from. Otherwise, I'd attribute it. But this prayer I don't use all the time. There's so many other kinds of prayers, and many times I'm using all the prayers that we talked about last week. But sometimes when I need to just get drawn back into saying, God, I don't have the answers. I can't even tell you what I need. But I surrender my life to you. So I use this prayer, and it helps me. You can use whatever name you use in prayer or different ones. Lord, God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. But then you just pray through the seven steps. Step one. God, I surrender to you my family and friends. Now that's step one and probably the hardest one. I find it pretty easy to say, God, take my life, your will be done, but when it's my family or when it's my friends, it's a different story. Then I want to tell God what to do. I call it prayer puppetry. You know, I want to pull the strings in the lives of those I love. I can surrender my own life. God, do what you want with my life. But I want to have a little more control over my friends and family. You know, you pray, and God, help her to get rid of that no good boyfriend of hers. You know, those kinds of things. We want to control it. And step one is to say, of those we love most, I surrender to you my family and friends. I don't give up on them, nor do I seek to control them. I simply pray that you do what you see is best for them. Step two, I surrender to you my future. This includes my job, my ambitions, my health, potential loss of loved ones, the uncertainty and the worry. I will go where you lead me and do what you would have me do. You know, it's funny that most of us want to spend our eternity with the Lord, and yet we're not quite so sure about entrusting our next week to God. Or our next year. But step two is I surrender to you my future. Step three, I surrender to you my reputation. I don't know if people are really concerned about reputations anymore. It used to be a big thing, but maybe it's not anymore. Maybe it's even more important because you see the way that people carefully curate their image on social media. You know, so it looks like the only places they go are really wonderful places, and everybody is always smiling. And they're always having the best of food, and there's pictures of it everywhere. We're concerned about our reputation. But I surrender to you my reputation, God, and this means what people think of me and say about me, and what I think people say about me and think about me. Keep me focused on you. Step four, Jesus, I surrender to you everything that has to do with money, making it, spending it, giving it, also everything that has to do with possessions, so they don't possess me. I can say then that I don't own anything anymore. Everything that I have and own is yours. I saw a cartoon once, and there was a preacher down in the river calling people down for baptism, saying, Jesus wants you to be a part of his family. Jesus is calling for you. So come down, be baptized, and give your life to Christ. And one person is walking down into the river and holding their wallet way up high. And the preacher says, are you afraid that your wallet's going to get wet? And the person says, no, I'm afraid God's going to want this too. God, I surrender to you everything that has to do with money. Step five, I surrender to you my social life. I surrender to you all my social activities, all the things I do on my own for pleasure and enjoyment, including games, movies, Facebook, internet, sexual relationships, and parties. Every part of my life I entrust to your direction. You know, a lot of us are like 90-10 people. God, you get this part of my life. You get 90% of my life. But then this one is for me. I do my own way over here in this part of my life. But this says, no, it's 100%. God, I entrust every part of my life to your direction. Step six. Lord, I surrender to you this day. Everything I had planned on my schedule and every unexpected situation that arises, take my time and use it as is best for others and for myself. Dean Talafus, who grew up in this church and is a former NHL player and also hockey coach. He has a wonderful story of how when his life went off the rails, he surrendered to Christ. And what a change it's been ever since. So if you ever get a chance to talk to Dean, ask him about his testimony. But the other day, we were talking, and he said, you know, every day I have to surrender. Every day I ask, what is God asking for me today? What is going to be my testimony for this day? It's that surrendering even day by day. Lord, I surrender to you this day. And finally, step seven, I surrender to you my will. Make my will, and your will my will. As we pray in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done. You know, next week we are going to finish up our prayer series, and we're going to talk about breakthrough prayer. Breaking through those roadblocks in our lives with big, bold prayers. But you can't pray those big, bold prayers unless you trust the one you're praying to. And that trust starts by learning to say, Uncle, I surrender. Thy will be done, Lord. Thy will be done. And when we do that, then we see the victory. So let us pray. God, there are many words we can say, but perhaps Uncle says enough. We surrender our lives to you. We place them into your care and keeping, knowing that there's no better place than to be in your hands.